You are the beloved. With you I am well pleased. Let us pray. O perfect light of revelation, as you shone in the life of Jesus, whose epiphany we celebrate, so shine in us, that we may become beacons of truth and compassion, enlightening all creation with deeds of justice and mercy. Amen. Good morning, good people of grace. I want you to imagine with me yourself in a dream, the one we all have, the one where you find yourself in the middle of a board meeting or on stage, and you suddenly realize that you are to give a speech or a major presentation, and yet you find you are still in your pajamas. Yes, I know I'm not the only one. I know we have all had this dream, or perhaps nightmare, of suddenly being thrown into a moment in which we feel totally unprepared and vulnerable. Moments in which we feel our humanity is totally exposed. Now imagine that the event of the baptism of Jesus is not actually just about Jesus, but is actually about just that moment of our humanity, our vulnerability, and God's grace and mercy with us in it. Imagine that this story of baptism offers us an epiphany right here and right now. This moment of baptism for Jesus is an epiphany for our lives today. Yes, because of what happens to Jesus in his baptism, but also because of what happens to John in his call to baptize. It holds truth for us because of the way that God is made manifest through their relationship. John and Jesus from the beginning are related by birth, but in their living, they become brothers in their mutual struggle for the salvation of their people. John's life mission was to call people to repentance. He was a wild man on the edges of society, a critical voice pointing all people toward another way of life, toward the way of life found in Jesus. So here is John, called not to be the Savior, but to pave the way. Here is John on the margins, calling all people to repent and to be baptized. And Jesus, who loves John, seeks him out and says, "Baptize me." Like Mary, when she is told that she will bear the Son of God, I wonder if John was really prepared for this moment, for righteousness to be fulfilled through him and his life. For all of John's skills and all of his passion, I imagine that he had never considered that he would be in this position, in that river, on that day, being asked to baptize the Son of God. For him, this call to baptize Jesus was an epiphany. Here is an epiphany that Richard Rohr highlights in his book, Falling Upward. Jesus did not teach that one size fits all, or that we can always predict outcomes, but that we can rather rely on God's grace and mercy. That in fact, God's ability to adjust to human disorder is found in God's providence and compassion. The rules are not as important as the relationship that God wants to create. During this season, We are to explore the many epiphanies found in how God manifests God's self on earth. The epiphanies found in full humanity and in relationship. Jesus, the one called to save the people, seeks baptism from John because, as Rohr puts it, God is more interested in relationship than in rules. John and Jesus were in a mutually transformative relationship, and that relationship called John into an unexpected and confusing role for him. And that call for John was not grounded in John's worthiness or readiness, but in God's mercy and grace. At first, John resists this call, but Jesus says to John, "Let it be now, this unexpected thing, this call you have. It is necessary for us to fulfill righteousness." And because Jesus and John had a trusting relationship, John humbly accepts and baptizes Jesus in the river in front of a gathered crowd, a vulnerable and fully human moment with God. Friends, God works through relationship to fulfill righteousness. God does not fulfill righteousness through rules or laws, but God fulfills righteousness through the messy incarnational reality of relationship. God fulfills righteousness through covenant. When we enter the story of the baptism of Jesus from the point of view of John, we are left to imagine, what if we too are being called to fulfill God's righteousness in unexpected ways together through relationship? Imagine that God may be calling us into a work, not because we are prepared or worthy, but because of God's mercy and grace, and because of the world's great need. This is the gift of baptism. We claim our work, our ministry in this covenant together, and we live that out with each other and for each other. The call to seek and serve all persons, to strive for justice and peace, to turn away from evil and repent, this work will show up for us in unexpected, confusing, and surprising ways. This is why we join together and say, "We will." Not "I will" or "you will," but we exclaim, "We will," with God's help. This baptism for us is rooted not in our sinfulness. This covenant is rooted in our need of the body of Christ, of relationship, in order to fulfill our righteous call to love our neighbor. Our baptism is rooted, yes, in our humanity, our need of each other, but most deeply, our baptism is rooted in the assurance that we too are God's beloved, with whom God is well pleased. So imagine what amazing things we can do when we accept this assurance that we too are God's beloved, with whom God is well pleased. Imagine what we can do together through relationship out of that love. Because none of us can do this alone, but together we will, with God's help. Grace, my call here to be with you has also been quite an unexpected call. As I said in my rector's annual report letter, I had imagined the relationships I would be forming here with you with great anticipation. I looked forward to and expected to be with you in worship and fellowship, growing to know your families and you growing to know mine. I had expected to be sharing the Eucharist with you. I had expected to be with you in shared ministry opportunities out in the world. This was not what I was expecting, preaching to an empty church and offering you communion at a distance. I did not expect a pandemic or national chaos. It has been hard, and I have been grieved by it, as I know you have been as well. And yet I trust that God has called me to you and to this place for exactly this surprising and unexpected moment, and for exactly this time. As surprising and often difficult as it has been, I have experienced God's assurance that we are on a path to fulfilling righteousness together, being called more deeply into our covenant to love our neighbor and worship God. As we look at this past year, these past 6 months of being in relationship together, I am actually in awe of what God has done in this place. We have baptized 4 new members. We have grown our pastoral care team and have begun a deep dive into what it means to be a true outreach church. We have developed the capacity of our vestry, hired new staff members. We had a rich Advent book study of Love is the Way, and we have formed a dedicated group of women who walk together even when it is below freezing weekly through Women Walking the Way. And our liturgies continue. We had a beautiful Christmas season. We have found new ways to reach new members near and far through technology, and we have developed new skills that are needed during this time. We've built a budget that is both expansive and ethical and that stewards our resources well. All of these ministries, even in such an unexpected and surprising time, have been possible because of relationship. As we review our year of 2020 and renew our baptismal covenant together today, and as we move into 2021, let us open ourselves to how God will surprise us and call us more deeply into perhaps unexpected but righteous work together, with assurance that we are indeed a people beloved and with whom God is well pleased, and that with God's help, we will. Amen.